Right, let's turn now in our Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 6. I thought a few moments ago when I was reading this scripture, this is the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. Handle it carefully. Prayerfully, reverently. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, rightly applying the word of truth. And here in verse 20, it says he lifted up his eyes on his disciples. It seems to me our Lord is addressing primarily his disciples, believers. You recognize this is a shorter account of the Sermon on the Mount, which Matthew reported in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And Luke, it seems to me, he's reported primarily what our Lord had to say to his disciples, believers. And that's the way I'm using it today, because I'm convinced of that. He lifted up his eyes on his disciples, as I lift up mine eyes this morning on believers who met here in the name of Christ to worship him. And our Lord said, "Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." Now, he's not talking about material poverty. He's not talking about material riches or poverty, because neither riches nor poverty bless a man or curse a man. A man's not cursed because he's rich. A man's not cursed because he's poor. He's not blessed because he's rich materially. He's not blessed because he's poor. Both rich and poor in material things are blessed if they're poor in spirit. That's what he said in Matthew, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of God." So both the rich and the poor are blessed if they're poor in spirit before God. If they confess their sins, if they look to Christ alone for mercy and grace and forgiveness, they're blessed, poor in spirit. But both the rich and the poor are cursed and condemned if they're proud people, self-righteous people before God, like those in the book of Revelation who said, "We're rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing," and they do not know that they're naked, miserable, poor, and blind. But if we know that, like David said, "Lord, I'm poor and needy." Was there ever a man who had more acclaim and popularity and prosperity than David, and yet he says, "I'm poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me." So blessed are the poor in spirit, those who have been brought down, recognize their poverty in spirit, their need of Christ, their need of mercy, their need of grace. Pink said, "Poor in spirit, spiritually, by nature, I have nothing, I know nothing, I can do nothing. It has to come from him. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from above. Who maketh thee to differ? What do you have you didn't receive? Now if you received it, why do you boast as if you did?" So blessed are the poor in spirit. Then read on. And he says, "Blessed are ye that hunger now." Hunger for what? Well, Matthew said, "Hunger for righteousness." Blessed are they that hunger for righteousness, for truth. I know the Lord provides our daily bread, our clothing, and our physical needs. But this hunger here is for righteousness. This hunger is for fellowship with God. Oh, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Oh, that I may win Christ and be found in him. Oh, that I might be filled with the fullness of his love. Oh, that I might be before him righteous and holy, accepted in the Beloved. Ye shall be filled. Blessed are they that hunger for righteousness, they shall be filled. That's his promise. Ask and it'll be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. And then he says, blessed are ye that weep now. What cause? Why do we weep? Well, we weep under affliction. We weep because of our sins. We weep under the trials of life. We weep under the pressures of life. We weep under the sorrows that come our way by the good providence of God. God doesn't have a child that doesn't weep. Blessed are ye that weep now. You're going to laugh. Well, that you shall laugh. You shall laugh is twofold. Number one, we laugh here. We have our times of sorrow, deep sorrow, and affliction. We have those times, but we have our times to laugh and rejoice. The Word of God is our comfort. The Spirit of God is our teacher and our comforter. And God gives us spiritual joy with other believers. The fellowship of the saints is a happy fellowship, a fellowship of rejoicing. Paul, if you look over here in Romans, I believe it's chapter 9 or 10. Let's look at this a moment. In chapter 9 of Romans, Paul says, I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. I have great heaviness and continual sorrow. And yet he's the same man that wrote in Philippians 10 times, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. He's the same man that said, in everything give thanks. This is the will of God concerning you. So the believer is a paradox. We weep over our sins, yet we rejoice over in his righteousness. We weep over our failure, and yet we have full confidence and assurance in our victory in Christ. We weep in this life, and yet in 5 minutes we're laughing and rejoicing. You laugh now. Ye that weep now, you'll have times when you laugh now. But listen, he's talking here about that day when we will never stop rejoicing. There'll be God's tomorrow, no more sorrow. No more weeping. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Blessed are ye that weep now. You'll laugh. You'll laugh. Oh, how you'll laugh. Oh, the little rejoicing we have here is not worthy to be compared with the rejoicing we're going to have then. We'll know why everything happened that happened. Why it happened, when it happened. The severity, the heartache, whatever happened, we'll know, and we'll laugh about it. We'll rejoice in it. Absolutely rejoice in it. You're going to laugh. And listen, in verse 22, blessed are ye when men will hate you. Now that sounds strange, doesn't it? Blessed are the poor. But if you find the key to that, poor in spirit. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. God's going to save the poor. He's going to save the lost. He's going to save sinners. He's going to answer the prayer of the needy. Blessed are you poor. Yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that weep now. You're going to laugh. Blessed are ye that hunger. You're going to be filled with righteousness. Now, blessed when people hate you. When they separate you from their company. When they don't want you around, don't want to listen to you, don't want you in their presence, avoid you. Blessed are you when men reproach you, cast out your name, say bad things about you. Now here's the key. For the gospel's sake, for the Son of Man's sake, they hate you for Christ's sake. For what you believe. Now turn to John 15. Nobody's blessed if people hate them because they're hateful. Well, that's not being blessed. You're not blessed if people hate you because you're greedy or covetousness or hateful or talk unkind to folks and treat them unkindly. And now that's not a blessing. We're talking about for Christ's sake. For Christ's sake, for the Son of Man's sake. Now listen to John 15, verse 18. If the world hate you, you know it hated me before it hated you. Now why did they hate Christ? Our Lord was tender, kind, went about doing good, healed the sick, fed the hungry, never sinned, never spoke a word unkindly, always obeyed the Father, perfect in word, thought, and deed. But people hated him. They hated him because of his gospel. His words offended them. His gospel offended them. What he taught, God's salvation by blood, by sacrifice, by grace, through faith, not works. They hated him for his gospel. That's why they hated him. He said, listen, if you were of this world, the world would love his own. If you were like them, they'd love you. But because you're not like them, you're not of the world, your message is different, your gospel's different, your God's different, your hope's different. I've chosen you out of this world, therefore they'll hate you. Now remember the word I said to you, the servant's not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. If you preach what I preach, they'll persecute you. If you believe what I believe, they'll persecute you. If they kept your sayings, my sayings, they'll keep yours. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they do not know him that sent me. That's the reason they do it. They don't know God. You pity them and you feel sorry for them. You weep over them. But they don't know God. And if they don't know God, they don't know God's gospel. If they don't know God, they don't know God's Son. If they don't know God, they do not know God's servant. If they do not know God, they do not know God's salvation and truth. So they hate it. It's not what they believe. They hate it. Paul called it the offense of the cross. Turn to Galatians 5. The offense of the cross. That's something that's offensive. An odor is offensive. A cruel person is offensive. But to the world, the gospel's offensive. The truth's offensive. The message of Christ is offensive. It's offensive. And I tell you, look at Galatians 5, verse 11. Brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, if I preach works, if I preach man's duties and deeds for salvation, why do I suffer persecution? The world doesn't hate that. Then is the offense of the cross ceased. If I preach salvation by works, there's no offense of the cross. The cross said it's salvation by God's work, by Christ's blood, by his obedience, by his grace, as his gift, not yours. It's all of grace or all of works, not both. Now, if I preach works, I won't be persecuted because that's not offensive to the world. You see, the gospel, which declares all men sinners, helpless, hopeless sinners, who in the flesh cannot please God, cannot do good, who do not seek God, dead in trespasses and sin, that's offensive. That offends man's dignity. The Pharisees said, are you calling us sinners? Are you saying we're blind? We're blind? Are you saying that? That's offensive. I'll tell you something else about this gospel. To teach this gospel comes by revelation, not by education, by revelation. Not by man's knowledge, by God's wisdom, as a gift of God. It's given unto you to know the mysteries of God. To them it's not given. You tell a man that he cannot, with his education and natural brilliance and intellect, that he cannot read this and understand it. That's exactly what I'm saying. He cannot understand. He can understand the words, but he can't understand the truth, the mystery. That offends his wisdom. That's offensive. And I'll tell you something else. If you preach that Christ's blood is particular, his death is not for the whole world, it's for his people. It's for the elect. It's for those given to him by the Father before the foundation of the world. That his blood is not an offer, it's a gift. That salvation is not an offer, it's a gift. It's a gift of God, not of works. It's not by cooperation, it's by divine operation, regeneration, that God gives the blood of Christ. In Egypt, there was blood on the door of the Israelites, none on the door of the Egyptians. And when God saw the blood, he passed over. Where there was no blood, condemnation. And the blood of Christ is not everywhere. It's on the hearts of his people. And when God sees the blood, that's offensive. It offends a man's pride. Calling him a sinner offends his dignity. Telling him he can't understand the word. No man can come to me except my Father draw him. And they shall all be taught of God. And he that is learned of the Father cometh to me. That offends his wisdom. And an effectual atonement offends his pride. You mean that I don't contribute anything to the salvation of my soul? Nothing. It's all of grace. That's offensive. I've got to have something to do. Even if it's just a trip to the Holy Land. But I've got to have something to do. No, Christ did it all. And grace alone is offensive. Now, listen. Blessed are ye, verse 22, back to my text. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, separate you from their company, reproach you, cast out your name as evil. You know what that guy believes? Oh, my. But if that's for the Son of God's sake, look at verse 23. You rejoice. Rejoice in that day. Leap for joy. Thomas Boston said this. When you are counted worthy to suffer for the gospel of Jesus Christ, and men who hated him hate you, men who said, we'll not have this man reign over us, said, we'll not have this man preach to us, men who cast out your name as evil like they did him, he's the son of the devil, Baal. He's a gluttonous man. He's a wine bibber. He's a son of Baal. When they cast your name out that way, you rejoice as if the greatest honor and happiness had been conferred on you. You rejoice as people do when they've been honored and rewarded. You rejoice. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. To suffer with him is to reign with him. To bear in your body the marks of the dying of Christ is to reign with him. To deny him is to be denied of him. Great is your reward in heaven. Listen, in the same manner did their fathers to Isaiah, Moses, Jeremiah, all the prophets. So what you're doing, you're numbered with Samuel, Moses, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and all the prophets who've lived before you who were despised for the truth they preached. Blessed, he looked on his disciples. Blessed are you poor. Yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you that hunger and thirst for righteousness. You don't have any of your own. You need his. You'll be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now. You weep for many reasons. You're going to laugh. And you'll never weep again. Blessed are you when men hate you for Christ's sake and persecute you for the gospel's sake and cast your name out as a fanatic and a radical and evil. You rejoice. You leap for joy. You're counted to suffer with the apostles who every one of them were martyred except one, John, died on the Isle of Patmos, an exile. But the rest of them were killed by the religious people of this world. But now look at the exact opposite in verse 24. The exact opposite. Take every one of these. Poor, hunger, weak, gospel. Listen. Woe unto you that are full. Woe unto you that are rich in your own opinion, who have need of nothing, whose confidence is in your works and your righteousness, who seek not Christ's mercy. Woe unto you, rich. You've received your consolation right now. Resting in your own righteousness, proud of your works, proud of your deeds, that's your reward. Woe to you that are full of vanity, full of conceit, full of pride, have no appetite for spiritual food, have no longing for his righteousness, no desire to know Christ. Well, one day you'll mourn, you'll hunger. You'll hunger someday. But be too late then. He said over here in Proverbs chapter 1, let me just read it to you. He said in Proverbs chapter 1, when your fear does come and your destruction does come as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish comes upon you, then shall you call upon me, but I won't answer you. Then you'll seek me, but you'll not find me. You hated knowledge when you heard it. You didn't choose the fear of the Lord. You wouldn't listen to my counsel. You despised my reproof. Therefore, you eat of the fruit of your own way. You're filled with your own devices. That's Proverbs 1:20-28. Woe unto you that are full now. Someday you'll hunger, but there'll be no food. Woe unto you that laugh now. Laugh at sin. Our whole world's laughing at sin. Make a mock of sin. Make a mock of evil. Laugh and joke about the gospel. Make jokes about God's servants. Woe unto you that laugh now. You'll weep. You'll mourn and weep. Now look at this verse 26. Woe unto you when all men speak well of you. Now this is talking about the gospel. Back there in verse 22, woe unto you, or blessed are you when men hate you for the Son of Man's sake. Now, verse 26, woe unto you when men speak well of you. For so did their fathers, the false prophets. Blessed is the faithful believer, preacher, pastor, a witness who endures the hatred and ill will of today's religion for the sake of the gospel. That person ought to leap for joy that he's counted worthy to suffer for Christ's sake. That's the way they treated the prophets. But woe to that person that men speak well of. They compromise the gospel. They water it down. They take the edge off of it. They take the offense out of it. They take the glory out of it for the applause and popularity of men. Woe unto you. Men speak well of you. They spoke well of the false prophets. They bragged on them. All right, verse 27. Our Lord continues. But I say unto you who hear me, I say unto you who have ears to hear, aren't you glad that we can hear him? Aren't you glad that you rejoice that you understand what he's just saying? I'm hearing. Are you hearing? Are you listening? That's what he said. Now, I say to you which are listening, which hear me, love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Bless them that curse you, even for the gospel's sake. Pray for them, which despitefully use you. How can we hate them? We used to be just like them. If it wasn't for his grace, we'd be just like them now. How can we curse them and find fault with them? Except for the grace of God, we'd be numbered with them. Those who hate Christ and hate the gospel and hate us because we love it, we're different, the message is different. Love them. Pity them. Pray for them. Don't hate them. Don't curse them. Turn to 2 Samuel. I want you, David set a good example for us here. 2 Samuel chapter 16. You know, 2 Samuel 16, Absalom had taken the throne. David was in exile. David was leaving. Some of his people going with him, and he'd been kicked out. His son Absalom had taken the kingdom. And there was this fellow sitting by the side of the road called Shimei. Verse 5 of 2 Samuel 16. When David came to Bahurim, behold, there thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul. One of Saul's kinfolks, King Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David. Here's the David, the king, ex-king, walking, and his men with him. This fellow's sitting on the side of the road throwing rocks at him. And then all the servants of King David, and all the people, the mighty men that were on his right hand, on his left. And here's what he said. Shimei said, when he cursed, he said, "Come out, come out, you bloody man, man of Baal, Belial," that's the devil. "The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead you've reigned. The Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom your son. Behold, you've taken in your mischief, you bloody man." Oh, that'd be hard to take, wouldn't it? He was wrong. It was all false. It was all lies. David was God's anointed. We all know. And then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, "Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray you, and take off his head." That sounds like a good idea. Whack his head off. My nature says that. Whack his head off. That'll stop his cursing. He won't throw me any more rocks either. But the king said, "Here's the grace of God. Listen. What have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? Let him curse. Because the Lord has said to him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore have you done so? God permitted that. God sent him to curse me. God put him there." That's what David said. David said to Abishai and to all his servants, "Behold, my son, which came forth from my own bowels, seeks my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone, let him curse. The Lord hath bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look on my affliction, and the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day." So that's what our Lord is saying to us. Your enemies, love them. Do good to them that hate you. Bless them that curse you. Bless them. They couldn't do it without God's permission. Pray for them. Pray for them. Now look at verse 29. This verse has suffered much abuse and ridicule. "Unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. Him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid him not to take thy coat also." And people laugh at that and have a lot of cute things to say. But the best commentary on that verse is found in Romans 12. You want to turn over there? Here's the best commentary on that, Romans 12, verse 17. Romans 12, verse 17. "Recompense to no man evil for evil." Don't get even. Don't carry on the fight. Don't carry on the grudge. "Recompense to no man evil for evil." Romans 12, 17. "Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." Dearly beloved, don't get even. Avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. Let it go. It's written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. If your enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For so doing, you shall heap coals of fire on his head. Now, these are light matters over here that our Lord mentions. Unto him that smiteth thee on the cheek. Turn the other one. Man takes your coat, cloak. Let him have the cloak also if he wants it. These are light matters. A smitten cheek heals quickly. Very quickly. Somebody does something like that to you, you know, either physically or emotionally, it heals quickly. It doesn't hurt long. Not worth continuing a fight over. And a coat, there's plenty of coats. You got more than one. There's plenty of cloaks. If he takes your coat, give him your cloak. Give him your cloak also. There are plenty of cloaks. The Lord's able to replace anything that anybody takes from you. Now here's what he's saying. If a fella comes along and does something to your property, or something that's yours, or says something bad about you, or wounds you or hurts you, drop it. Just forget it. Because if you get even, if you seek revenge, if you take him to court, if you get his license number and hunt him down, the battle will never end. It'll never end. You don't know what you'll stir up by that. You don't know what kind of conflict or problems you'll get in like that. It's like a young man driving his car and fellas run into it. Some hooligans, that's a true story, run into it, knocks a dent in it. And he comes home, tells his father, knocked a dent in my car. I got their license number. But they live over here in a rough district, and they're rough people. They got a lot of rough friends. And they got a lot of influential friends. You raise the ruckus and go over there, you've got something stirred up like the Hatfields and McCoys. It has no end. Just goes on and on and on and on. Your name is drug. You lied about this. Let it go. Isn't that right? Forget it. Don't pursue it. That's what he's saying. If a fellow smites you on the cheek, turn the other. If it take away your coat, Lord, give me another coat. I'm not going to take you to court over that coat. It's not worth it. That's exactly what he's saying here. Don't avenge yourself. Don't get even. Don't pursue a conflict and hold a grudge. Drop it. The Father will supply the needs. Now, that's good advice. It's not good. That is the way. That's God's way. All right, verse 30. Give to everybody that asketh of you. Him that taketh away your goods, don't ask him again. You know, the Lord's not instructing us to give foolishly. Turn to Deuteronomy 15. I found a little light on this over here. Deuteronomy 15. There's a key in the scriptures about giving to the poor. First, you provide for your family. A person that does not provide for his own house is worse than an infidel. We provide for our families, our whole family. Secondly, we provide for the household of faith, the people in the church. Provide for brothers and sisters in Christ. We provide for them. Then, as we're able, we'll help others. That's the scripture teaches that. That's the order. You provide for your own household now. You provide for the household of faith, and then as you're able, you help others. Now here in Deuteronomy, here's the law. Here's the law of Moses, Deuteronomy 15, verse 7. If there be among you a poor man of one of your brethren within any of thy gates in thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, this household of faith, don't harden your heart or shut your hand from that poor brother. Open your hand wide to him, and shall surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanted. Beware that there be not a thought in your wicked heart, saying, well, the seventh year, the year of release is at hand, and your eye will be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him not, and he cries unto the Lord against it, and it be sin to you. So give to him.
Your heart shall not be grieved when thou givest to him, because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works, in all thou puttest thy hand into.
So when our Lord says here in verse 30, give to those that ask of you. And if a fellow borrows your goods and don't bring them back, let him have it. If he takes away, not steals it, but he takes away goods, ask him not again. All right, look at verse 31. Now here's the precept, here's the substance of all that's found in the book of the law. Here it is, listen. As you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them. How should I treat others? You know, our Lord said the whole law is fulfilled in two. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. So how shall I treat others? As I want them to treat me if the circumstances, situation were reversed. That's it. Our Lord's words are so beautiful, aren't they? As you would that men should do to you if the situation is reversed. You're on the other end. You treat him as you want him to treat you if it was reversed. That's what he's saying. Let me go on here for just a moment more. Verse 32. Now, if you love them that love you, what thank have you? The heathen love those that love them. If you do good to people who do good to you, what thank is that? Heathen do the same. If you lend to people of whom you hope to receive, the bank does that. That's how they build these big, beautiful buildings. They lend to those from whom they hope to receive. What's that tell you? The wicked do the same. In other words, our Lord's saying, that's no evidence of grace. To love those that love you, to give to those that give to you, that's not grace. That's not the fruit of the Spirit. That's not the demonstration of the love of God. That's self-love. That's the general conduct of all natural men. But now here's the evidence of grace. Verse 35. Love your enemies. That's the grace of God. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward will be great. You'll be children of the highest. He's kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Our Lord is kind to the unthankful. We know that. He's kind to us. He's merciful to us. He causes his sun to rise and his rain to fall on the unthankful and the evil, the good or the bad. Whether a believer or unbeliever, he feeds the righteous, he feeds the ungodly. He gives grace to the elect, he gives mercy to everybody. Love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. Your reward will be great. You'll be called the children of the highest. That's characteristic of God, and that's characteristic of his children. The Father acts that way, and the sons act that way. That's just true. You see sons and daughters that act like their parents, act like they're taught. They follow the example set for them. And here's the sum up the whole thing. You be merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful. That's right. All right, I've preached long enough. I hope that's a blessing to you. I know it's a blessing to you. It's our Lord's word. I hope it's effectual to us. That we will be merciful as our Father in heaven is merciful to us.